with me on tonight. Oh, stay with me, church, because come on, my brother, keep reading.
For I will surely show kindness to you.
There's that word again. I will surely show kindness to you. Why?
For the sake of your father Jonathan.
That's the key right there. Come on, my brother, read on.
And will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul.
Yes, come on, my brother.
And you shall eat at my table.
Yes.
Regularly.
Now hold it right there. Now, how many of y'all like to eat once a month? Raise your hand. How many of y'all like to eat once a week? Amen. How many of y'all like to eat every other day? No. How many of y'all like to eat regularly? Okay, now, can y'all wave? Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. Amen. I don't like to eat three meals a day. I want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Come on, y'all. Somebody ought to help me tonight. I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters. I'm trying to help you to see that David is saying something here. He said, you shall eat at whose table?
My table.
My table.
Regularly.
Who's saying this? This is the king, man. And when the king speaks, you know his word means something. Are y'all with me, church? David is saying something. So a man's plight. So even though he had those three strikes against him, David is going to show this man some grace and some mercy. That leads me to my second point. Let's look at the king's provision. This king's provision, if you will. All right, a king's provision. All right, let's go to verse number. All right, so Mephibosheth expected the king's wrath. Instead, he received the king's friendship and fellowship, the king's bounty and blessings, and the king's love and loyalty. David gave provisions to Mephibosheth and his family. The king made sure that Mephibosheth and his family would never go hungry. He gave them land and food. Look at verse number 8. Let's go ahead. We missed that verse. Come on. Verse 8. What does the book say?
Again, he prostrated himself and said, what is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me?
Isn't that something? Mephibosheth viewed himself as a dead dog. But David is telling him, you shall eat bread. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us, in a sense, are like dead dogs before God. Right. Oh, yes, we got book for it. Right. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Yes, isn't that something? So we have a seat at the king's table, but we don't deserve to be here. Right. You see, Mephibosheth expected the king's wrath. Instead, he got the king's unconditional love and acceptance. Look at this. Let's read verse number 9. Come on, my brother.
Then the king called Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house, I have given to your master's grandson.
How many of y'all know that God can take some stuff that's in the possession of your enemies and give it to you? Are y'all with me, church? That's how powerful God is. Amen. That's why never try to get even with your enemies. Never try to even the score. No, ma'am, and no, sir. Don't do eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Learn how to let go and let God. Are y'all with me tonight? Because I'm here to tell you, God is in the blessing business. Is that all right on tonight? Let's look at it here. All right, keep on reading, my brother.
You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food.
Okay, now this is important. The provision has been made, but there's still some work that needs to be done.
Yes.
Now, Mephibosheth, you know, he's not able to work, but that's why he calls Ziba's servants, Saul's, you know, his servants to come and to cultivate the land. Now, we must understand that, yes, we're saved by grace. We're not saved by our works, but we are saved by grace in order to work. Is that all right? We're not saved by our works, but we are saved in order to work. We are to work out what God has worked in. Is that all right on tonight? Okay, now, keep on reading, my brother.
Nevertheless Mephibosheth, your master's grandson shall eat at my table regularly.
Oh, I like that word regularly, don't y'all? Amen. Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table. My table regularly. And check this out. Read on.
Now Ziba had 15 sons.
That's a whole lot of sons right there. Am I right about it? Good God Almighty. A lot of hungry mouths to feed when you have 15 boys. Amen. I never had a boy. But you know what? I used to be one. Help me somebody. And I know something about a healthy appetite. Now Ziba had 15 sons and what?
And 20 servants.
Come on, my brother, read on.
Then Ziba said to the king,
read on.
According to all that my lord the king commands his servant,
uh-huh.
So your servant will do.
Read on.
So Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons.
Oh, y'all see that? Oh, he's not just there as a guest, but he's there. He has access to the table, to the blessing as what? As one of the king's sons. You know what our problem is? Some of us don't know who we are. We don't fully know who we are, brothers and sisters. Now, that's what, you know, we go around here depressed, looking like we're broke, busted, and disgusted, and we don't know and understand who we are. Oh, brothers and sisters, I pray to God that we can come to a point where we can understand who we are and whose we are. Verse 12, what does the book say? Come on.
Mephibosheth uh-huh. had a young son
yes.
whose name was Michael,
Micah, uh-huh.
and all who lived in the house of Ziba
uh-huh.
were servants to Mephibosheth.
All right, okay, we're servants to Mephibosheth. Read on.
So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem.
Lived in Jerusalem.
For he ate at the king's table.
How often?
Regularly.
I like that word again, all right, that he ate at the king's table regularly. Come on, my brother.
Now he was lame in both feet.
There's that same statement again. That's very significant there. Mephibosheth was crippled, but he was no longer an orphan, yes, no longer living in fear. What are you saying, church? When you're sitting at the king's table, you don't have to be afraid of being destroyed by your enemies. Because when the king put his stamp of approval on you, you have everything that you need. You see, Mephibosheth was now sitting at the king's table as one of his own sons of David. Are y'all with me tonight? Mephibosheth enjoyed the same provisions and privileges as David's son. And if I could use my sanctified imagination, I could just imagine there, if you will, Mephibosheth sitting at that table. And when it's time to eat, the servants bringing in fried chicken, pinto beans, collard greens, turnip greens, black-eyed peas, mashed potatoes and gravy. Somebody ought to say amen on tonight. Armadillo casserole, possum pot pie, and alligator stew, and then top it all off with some banana pudding. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm trying to help you understand, brothers and sisters, that this man had everything he needed for the rest of his life because he was sitting at the king's table. Now, what does this have to do with you and me tonight? This leads me to my third and final point, and the lesson will be yours. And this third point is the king's. Now, notice the second point was a king's provision. But this is the king's provisions. The story of King David's kindness resembles the kindness of another king. And I'm talking about King Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't you know, brothers and sisters, that you and I have a seat at the king's table? You see, we got to understand, brothers and sisters, if I can hope the elders don't mind me just using this illustration here. I like this chair right here. Boy, if I could afford it, I would have offered to buy it from the elders here. But I tell you, I just like the fact we're going to turn it this way. Is that all right? Because I want you to know and understand, brothers and sisters, that you and I have a seat at the king's table, just like Mephibosheth. But let me explain something to you. We don't deserve to be here. Am I right about it? We didn't earn it because we were unworthy and undeserving. And somebody may say, well, brother preacher, why are we unworthy? Well, first of all, because just like Mephibosheth, we were under the vile influence of our grandfather. I'm talking about that old devil. Y'all remember that? Jesus said in John 8, in verse number 44, he said, you are of your father who? The devil. He was a liar from the beginning. If we're honest with ourselves, all of us have told some lies in our life. Am I right about it? We've lied to people. We've lied on people. We've lied for people. And some of us have lied and are still lying to ourselves. So I'm unworthy. I don't deserve to have a seat at the king's table. Are y'all with me tonight? The second reason why I don't deserve a seat at the king's table is just like Mephibosheth, who was lame in both of his feet. I'm here to tell you, in a spiritual sense, I don't deserve a seat at the king's table because I've been crippled by sin. Y'all don't hear me tonight. Crippled by corruption, disabled by deceitfulness, lame by lying, stained by sin, weakened by wickedness. Just like Mephibosheth, I can confess tonight, I've been just like a dead dog. That's why I agree with the Apostle Paul when he said in Ephesians 2 and verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and in sin. And the third reason why I don't deserve a seat at the king's table is because just like Mephibosheth, I was an orphan child. You see, there was a time when I was in the devil's family. Are y'all with me tonight? But God in his grace and his mercy has accepted me. He has adopted me into his family. Oh, let me put some book on it if y'all don't mind. All right, in Galatians 4 in verse number 4, the Bible says, Galatians 4 in verse number 4, stay with me now because we're going somewhere. Galatians 4 in verse 4, the Bible says there, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his what? His son,
born of a woman.
Come on.
Born under the law.
So that he might redeem those
who were under the law.
Come on.
That we might receive
the adoption as sons. Come on, my brother.
Because you are sons. God has sent forth the spirit of his son.
Where?
Into your hearts.
Crying.
Abba, Father.
Oh, do y'all see a church? We are not just servants, we're not just slaves, but we are sons and daughters of God.
Yes, sir.
Which means that we now have a seat at the king's table.
Yes,
isn't that beautiful? Somebody may say, well, brother preacher, you got to prove that to me. What does the Bible say that we're seated? Ephesians 2. Follow me to Ephesians 2 in verse number 5. Ephesians 2 in verse number 5. I want you to see this. Ephesians 2. In verse number 5, Ephesians 2 and verse number 5. All right, if you're there, almost there, what does the book say? All right, Ephesians 2 and verse 5. Brother Jones, what does the book say? Come on.
Even when we were dead. In our transgressions. Made us alive together with Christ.
Come on.
By grace you have been saved.
Come on.
And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places.
In the heavenly places.
In Christ Jesus.
Do y'all see that?
All right.
As a son and daughter of God,
yes,
we have a seat. We have been seated with him in heavenly places. What's in heavenly places? Ephesians 1 and verse 3. The Bible says there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? not some spiritual blessings, not most spiritual blessings, but with what?
With all, every spiritual
with every
blessing.
Every spiritual blessing
in the heavenly
in
places.
In the heavenly places.
In Christ.
In Christ. And let me show you something, church. He goes on to list seven. You know that number seven is significant. Seven spiritual blessings. The first one there is in verse 4. He had chose us, meaning that we are, that's election. And then he mentions the next one in around verse number 5 or 6, adoption. And then the third one there is redemption. And then in verse number 8, he talks about what? He had what? Abounded. Can you read it? Verse 8, Ephesians 1 and verse 8. Come on.
Which he lavished on
lavished
us.
Lavished on us.
In all wisdom and insight.
In all wisdom and what? In the,
insight.
Those are the other five spiritual blessings there. All right. Insight and wisdom. And then he mentions in verse 11, inheritance. And then in verse 13, he said, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When we heard, do y'all see it? Seven.
Yes, sir.
Seven spiritual blessings. Election. Adoption. Redemption. Wisdom. Insight. Inheritance. And the Holy Spirit. All of that is in heavenly places in Christ. And that's where we're seated tonight.
Amen.
Do y'all believe it, church? Do you believe it? Oh, yes. So that means, what does that mean? What are the implications of that? Look at Ephesians 2 and verse number. I got to wrap this thing up. Ephesians 2 and verse number 11. Therefore, remember. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. That remember you.
Therefore, remember.
Read on.
That formerly, you the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus. You who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
What are you saying, Brother Rob? Here's what I'm saying. Oh, brothers and sisters, folk will look at me and say, look at that old Brother Robinson. There he is. Think he's something. Sitting at the king's table. Think he's something. No good for nothing rascal. Because Edward J. Robinson. In my opinion, the J stands for Jack Leg. And then there are those who say that a rascal shouldn't even be at the king's table because, he was dead in trespasses and sin, just like Mephibosheth. He was just like a dead dog. He was crippled by sin. And then he was under the influence of his vile grandfather. And you know what? Those are accusations and allegations they hurl my way. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, I must acknowledge that they are true. For I confess that I have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not ashamed to take a seat at the king's table because I know that Jesus has done for me what I could not do for myself. And so folk can talk about me all they want to, but I'm here to tell you, I know who I am and I know whose I am because I know and understand that Jesus did for me what I could not do for myself. And I'm trying to tell you tonight, brothers and sisters, it's high time that we realize who we are.
Amen.
We are sons and daughters of God and we have a seat at the king's table. And what does that mean, having a seat at the king's table? That means that we have everything we need. Everything we need. That's why the psalmist could say, you know why I didn't play that Powerball, even though I was tempted to? Boy, I was shown up tempted to. I didn't play. You know why? Because that psalmist told me, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to what? Lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the what? Valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Are y'all with me tonight? And he said, he goes on to say, thou preparest what? A table before me in what? In the presence of my enemy. Sometimes you have folk in your life who don't want you to be blessed. But when you're sitting at the king's table, there's nothing they can do to block God's blessing. That's why I'm here to tell you, church, don't get caught up in what folk think about you. The world didn't give me this seat, and they can't take it away from me. Can y'all say amen tonight? He said, thou preparest a table before me, and that my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And what I love about the story of Mephibosheth, it lets me know that even when you're broken, even when you have broken feet, when you have a broken life, a broken home, a broken marriage, do y'all hear what I'm saying? A broken spirit. Even if you're broken on the inside, God is still telling you, come on down here and take a seat at the king's table. Is that all right? Because when that prodigal son messed up, y'all remember that? The father saw him and he what? Ran. Fell on his neck and what? Kissed him. Isn't that? And then he told his servant, quick, bring forth what kind of robe? The best robe. God always gives his children. When we are at our worst, God is at his best. Oh, there's somebody here tonight. You are broken. Bro, oh, yes, you look nice on the outside. Oh, yes, you drive a nice car, you live in a nice house, but you're broken. The message tonight is there's a place for you at the king's table. Because one thing I learned about folk who have a lot of resources, there are some things that money can't buy. Oh, yes, there's some things money can buy. I'm here to tell you, when God gives you his blessings, and when you know who you are and whose you are, oh, brothers and sisters, you have everything that you need. You have those things that are intangible, those things that are indestructible, those things that money cannot buy. Thank you for your attention tonight. Sitting at the king's table, just like Mephibosheth, all of us, we're under the influence of a vile spiritual grandfather. Just like Mephibosheth, all of us have been crippled by sin. Just like Mephibosheth, we have all been orphaned. But thank God for his grace and thank God for his mercy. Oh, my goodness. David was a man after God's own heart. The same kindness that God bestowed upon David, David extended to Mephibosheth. What a lesson for you and me tonight. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we may clash with family members. We may clash with church members, co-workers. Always remember this, that no person should never be offered that opportunity of kindness. Just as God extended grace to you, learn how to what? Extend that grace to others. Why? Because Jesus said, blessed are who? The merciful, for they shall what? Receive mercy. That's one of the things I know. I don't fully understand all that about David being a man after God's own heart, but I know one thing. David could have executed Mephibosheth had he remembered what Saul had done. But David didn't reflect on what Saul had done. He remembered his relationship with who? With Jonathan. And that's God and Jesus. God does not hold against us what we have done. God looks at what Jesus did in our behalf and he extends to us KFC, kindness, forgiveness, and compassion. Romans 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody's here tonight. We want to invite you to come. Come, take a seat at the king's table. At the king's table. If you're here tonight, you're not a part of God's family. You're standing on the outside of the ark of safety. You're out there trying to fix your life all by yourself. You're out there thinking that the world is going to give you that panacea, that peace that you're looking for. You'll never find it. One thing I learned about the world will give you nothing but heartaches, and headaches. If you want true peace, you got to come and sit at the king's table. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? Give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can come tonight. You've heard the word. Believe it with all of your heart. Romans 10, 17, Hebrews 11 and 6. You must be willing to repent of your sins. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. And then you must be willing to confess with your mouth Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. You come down this aisle. We ask you a very simple yet profound question. Do you believe with all of your heart Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? You answer yes. We can baptize you tonight. And when you're baptized into Christ, all of your sins are forgiven. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God grants you a seat at his table. Not his literal physical table, but his spiritual banquet table. Amen. A relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. Because the table represents love, life, joy, peace, provision, prosperity. Everything you need is there at the king's table. Yes, sir. Somebody's here tonight. You've been baptized into Christ, been added to the church, but you allowed the attraction of this world or the difficulties in your life to drive you away from the church. Come on back home tonight. Come on back home tonight. The Bible teaches us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All, not some unright, but all unright. You know what that says? When you have strayed away, God has made provisions for you to come on back home. Amen. We want to invite you to come tonight. Why don't you come? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. You need somebody to walk with you, ask the person next to you. Why don't you come and take a seat at the king's table? Ask the